Hello and good morning, Dr. Dorothy. I'm delighted that we're having an opportunity to connect today. We were just on the line before this call, briefly comparing the depth of the snow outside our various windows. And I'm not sure who's actually got the deepest snow. It sounds like maybe you do, which is unusual because I'm in Calgary, Alberta, and February we had probably 23 out of the 24 days, we had snow every single day, which is unusual. Now, you're dialing in from, where are you today?
I'm in Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay. Lovely.
In the States.
Lovely. Yes. And I'm delighted that you're able to join me for the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. Basically, the show is designed to showcase inspiring women, where we look at where we've come from, which might have at some point been regarded as a tragedy, and then rising up through diligence, through focus, through embracing learnings, and stepping into triumph. And Dr. Dorothy, my beautiful guest today, who I met at an Evolutionary Business Council retreat just this January, is certainly one of those ladies. Inspiring, has such a beautiful journey to share with us. So, excuse me, a little dry throat today. So what I'd like to do is do a little bit of a formal introduction, and then we'll learn some more about your story, and then I have some specific questions for you around the whole topic of leadership. So Dr. Dorothy Martin-Neville, is all about claiming the fullness of your leadership and recognizing that the challenging stories that you tell yourself about both you and about the world itself can have a massive impact. She is the author of a new book coming out, which is all about women changing the world. And I'll let her introduce that in a few moments. Now, nobody knows this tragedy to triumph story better than Dr. Dorothy. She actually grew up in an orphanage and also spent some time in the housing projects of South Boston and many, many other things, which I will let her tell her story directly. And now ending in such a significant role where you're working as an executive leadership coach and consultant. You're also being now invited to participate in some amazing projects. So through the work yes. that you've been doing, you know, you founded a school, you have the Institute of the Healing Arts and Sciences, you've got a focus on energy medicine as well. And really it's about helping, a lot of times it's women, to look at themselves objectively without judgment and to have more unconditional love. And I think you've been called the Dossi Lama at one point as well. So Dr. Dorothy really is an example of what she teaches in her upcoming book and in her programs. She's an amazing lady who's now been asked to head the health committee of the UN for a global summit on conscious capitalism. So what a journey. So welcome, Dr. Dorothy. Let's dive in to that story. So how did all this get started?
Well, you know, how to encapsulate a few years into a couple of minutes. Truly, I was an illegitimate child, born to a Irish Catholic girl in Boston, and Irish Catholic girls didn't do that. So I was placed in an orphanage for a few years until she married somebody else and other than my birth father. And he discovered I was in an orphanage and chose to adopt me. So I was taken back to where they lived, which was in the housing projects of South Boston in the inner city area, you know, in a very Irish, staunch Irish Catholic community. So I was raised there with, you know, gangs on street corners and running from the police so they don't catch you and put you in jail or reform school or something. And so it was just a very different life. But, you know, it was a small community and I felt blessed in many ways to have a small community. And I still do love those small intimate communities. But it was an inner city and it was a rather violent place. And I lived in a very violent alcoholic home. So it was one of those places that you try to survive and get out of as soon as you can. I tried to get out by going to, I wasn't allowed to go to college, and I tried to go to nursing school, was told I couldn't enter nursing school because I went to an unaccredited inner city high school. So no nursing school in the United States could accept me. And I needed a way out. And what happened, those of us who made it to graduation from high school generally graduated in May and got married in June. And I was going to marry a wonderful Irish man, Michael Daniel Flaherty, but I also wanted more. And wanting more was something global, something bigger, something with more impact. And there was no way I could do that if I was going to get married and have 10 or 20 children and stay in the projects. And so nursing school was out, college was out. And so I decided to become a Catholic nun. It was one way to get out and do service and on a bigger level. So I tried to join the Sisters of Mercy, one community, and realized the Catholic Church doesn't allow illegitimate children in the convent. And so I decided, okay, then I'll marry Michael and have those children. That must be my destiny. But just so happened, a teacher I ran into asked if I was going to marry Michael. And I said, yes, I can't find any other way out of Southie. And he's wonderful. So it's not like it would be a bad step in that sense. And I told her what I had done, laughed, because I spent quite a few days, if not years, in detention in high school. So the innocent little things, passing notes, talking in class, innocent things at this point in time. But she found a community, one community around the globe in Quebec, Canada, that worked with prostitutes, and they accepted an illegitimate child. And so I was truly blessed to join this French-Canadian community in Quebec, even though I was Irish Catholic, did not speak French, had never been to Canada. All of that is irrelevant. I joined, once I was a sister, they decided to send me to college, which I never thought I would ever get to do. Lovely. So once you have your BA, the rest is detail. Nobody cares where you went to high school. So eventually, after years, I left religious life, moved to Manhattan, became an international airline stewardess, and recognized that I wanted to see the world. And this was one great way to do it when I had no income. I had been living the vow of poverty for years. And so becoming an international airline stewardess was a glorious way to see the world. So I did, and eventually married and had two exquisite children. And I was divorced after 15 years with a kindergartner and a fourth grader. So I had my master's, went back and got my master's so I could support my children. And I became a psychotherapist in private practice for over 20 years. And at one point when Michael grew up, when my youngest was ready for college, I left the country and moved to Anguilla in the British West Indies for 10 years and lived there, but simultaneously came back to the States. I had founded a school, an integrative health care that was a byproduct of a method of energy medicine I had created. I had, after 3 years in, I was blessed with full practice, but I wanted more in my life, and someone suggested acupressure. So I went and became certified in 9 modalities of integrative healthcare and combined that with therapy, made my own method, and ended up opening up a school. And for 19 years, I had a program of 2 years and 4 years at the Institute I founded, teaching physicians, nurses, occupational therapists, physical therapists, and others, and some lay people, non-medical people. My work over two and four-year programs, and the many, many lay people as well, many non-medical people. And it was so successful. Students were flying in from around the country and Canada and other places to study with me. And eventually the third and fourth year students required to do medical internships. So we began or expanded integrative health departments in hospitals across the country. Mm-hmm. And you never know where your life is going to take you. You know, all of these things. I couldn't go to nursing school, and now I have a school where my school is becoming affiliated with 50 hospitals across the country or medical facilities. And my work was so successful, hospitals wanted to give us grants to do research. I had received grant funding from the National Institutes of Health to research my work with fibromyalgia patients. And so I opened up a nonprofit because they wanted to give funding to nonprofit organizations. So before you know it, I had 4 companies. I had a school, I had a nonprofit, and I was blessed. You never know. And when I finally moved back to America from the British West Indies, I realized the school was no longer feeding me. Life had changed. Everything had changed. And so I closed the school. I closed the nonprofit. And I moved into coaching and really recognizing that some of those people that were coming to see me didn't need therapy. They needed support in how to be effective healers, how to be effective leaders. I find effective leaders become healers. Effective leaders create a healing culture. They create an environment in which people thrive. And when we thrive, we're at peace. We're at peace. We are physically and mentally and spiritually healthy. Yeah. So really, my work was taken to another level through leadership, working with men and women, mostly women, but men and women, to support them in creating effective, transparent, authentic leadership, mm-hmm. where they thrive as well as the people around them.
Yeah, and that was part of how we got connected, having a interesting, in-depth conversation. I think it was brekkie, and then it led into lunch at the Evolutionary Business Council. Retreat, and a lovely opportunity to dive into your background. It is such an amazing story that really puts the spotlight on not necessarily trying to be goal-driven and striving and planning everything out, watching what's evolving and looking at the magic the universe is providing and what opportunities are showing up in front of you, and then asking that question, this is interesting. Where's this going to take me? Let's just take this journey, take a few steps and see where it leads. So when we talk about leadership in particular, as you know, my first book, The Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, released last November. And the next day it was a bestseller. So I was honored to have
been. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, honored to have been. Able to see that success so fast with that book. And it really does confirm for me, with the feedback I'm now getting and even some of the early testimonials, that women want to be more confident. They want to have an opportunity to be able to articulate their needs, to be heard. It's not about finding our voice, it's about being heard, and also using the power of things like appreciative inquiry, reciprocity. I think we very often as women underestimate the power that we actually have when we are strong, confident, and ask. So I think we're making really slow progress, you know, having more women move into leadership roles. I'm curious to learn from your many, many insights and years working in different organizations, building your own organization, having your own team as well. What is it that you feel holds women back, and more importantly, what can we do about it?
Well, there's two factors. I think part of it is the culture is still intimidated by the thought of having a majority of women in leadership. So there is, it's almost as if women become powerful leaders, if women move into the C-suite readily and move into CEO positions, that somehow men will be displaced and unwanted. It's mm-hmm. it's as if there is a mentality that it's either or. And if we move into the boardroom, we want all the men to move out. When the reality is, men and women each bring different strengths to the boardroom, to the C-suite, to any place within an organization, within an association, within the government. We each bring different strengths. And those both, in working together, create a culture that is absolutely the best we could have. All men or all women is a distortion. We need to learn a way to not be threatened by either, all right? And yes, there will be some associations that are just going to be all women and some associations that would just be all men, but those are associations that are really supporting them becoming their best selves. Yeah. When it comes to getting out there and changing the world, transforming the world, we need the best of who we are as women and the best who they are as men to work together to create the best possible culture and opportunity, because our minds work differently. And that is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it kind of likens in my mind to that concept of taking a pie and carving it up. So
right.
if you as the male leaders have 80% of the pie, you know, how much more are you willing to give up? Whereas I don't believe that that is in fact our reality. I think that the world has become more conscious. We're slowly becoming more conscious and more aware that the pie is actually infinity. The men do not have to give up anything in order to embrace having more leaders that are women at the table, because we bring different skills. I was looking at some research a little while ago with Zinga Folkman article, and they talked about the competences of women leaders, and they actually showcased 16 leadership competencies, and in their research, the women were ranking in the top 10 of those 16 competencies. So we actually are really effective leaders, according to that research, in a number of things, you know, team building, nurturing our team in particular. When it came to the strategic work, that was where the men seem to have more of the advantage, according to this survey data. And yet, you know, it's great to have a strategy, but if you look over your shoulder and there's no one following you because you have not engaged and nurtured your team and selected the brightest minds to be creative, then it's just going to fall apart.
Right. And then, and that's the component, that the gift, women bring it, men have the strategy.
Yeah.
And that type of logic. Women bring in the transformational element, where we can truly bring in the intuitive, the transparent, the teamwork, the collaboration. We bring in an element that isn't just sweet and kind and nice, but it is also immensely powerful in the transformational capabilities of creating solid teams, bringing intuitive knowing in as much more of a skill set, as equal a skill set as a strategy.
Yeah.
That we need to have both of those to bring out the best in each. And that's part of, I believe, when we spoke, what are the reasons? I think one is the system itself as it's set up, without the recognition that this collaborative team leadership that we bring to the work, to the workplace, as well as our intuitive, and we're pretty darn intelligent women that we can bring in to really give. And as you know, the bigger the view, the better the vision.
Yeah.
And when we have these small, narrow visions, because it's the way it's always been, we'll never become more than we are today by bringing in transformation and a larger vision, which is a women's skill set. We really support growth and development. But the other element, one is the system, the other is women themselves. And the book I've just written, it'll be released on Friday, International Women's Day, is Real Women Change the World. That addresses the ways in women sabotage themselves in their own leadership. As an executive leadership coach, I've worked with women from Wall Street in New York City to small towns in Maine and everywhere in between. And consistently, there's a pattern that I see women bring into their own leadership, which holds them back. The need to be liked.
Yeah.
The need not to be too much.
Yeah.
Wanting to be understanding is lovely. But giving away your voice so that you can be understanding to somebody else discredits you and discredits the conversation. So women really need to learn better communication skills. The mindset that says, I already am enough. We know that when it comes to applying for a position, if a man has 60% of the skills required, he applies recognizing he will learn the other 40% on the job. Women will not even apply unless they have solidly 100% absolutely cornered. That holds us back. And then the resentment that less qualified people get advanced, they do because they went for it. If we don't go for it, we're not going to get it. People do not necessarily search us out. That happens on rare occasions. We have to go after what it is we want. So we have to be willing to own what it is we want. We have to be willing to communicate that.
Yeah.
And then we have to go for it.
Yeah.
And recognize that when we need to be nice, we do not get to be real. So the subtitle of my book, it's Real Women Change the World. And the subtitle is Letting the Good Girl Die So the Real Woman Can Live.
Oh,
when
I love
we spend
that.
Right? When we spend all of our energy trying to be good, trying to be nice so we don't offend anybody, we end up not being natural, not being transparent, not being real. And I can say to you, I disagree completely with what you just said. Let me show you my perspective. Nowhere in there am I saying you have no value. Nowhere in there am I saying you're ignorant. All I'm saying is I don't agree with you. Let me share my thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Assuming that this person we're talking to is an adult And they are not going to be wounded by that. But women are so frightened in these instances in which they hold themselves back that they don't say those things because they don't want to be unkind. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in being unkind. I don't believe in being crude. I don't believe in being aggressive. Yeah. But being strong and powerful, it's imperative.
Yeah.
Because we are naturally strong and powerful. And if we're going to change the world, we best own the power that it takes to create that.
Exactly. And one of my favorite quotes is, and when I did a talk to 500 women at the last International Women's Day event with One Woman Summit, the Fearless Summit, that was actually a quote that I shared. And that was probably the piece on the video, replaying it afterwards, where more women clapped at that remark than anything else. And my quote was, you don't have to be liked by everyone, but you do need to be respected. And
absolutely.
That is, I believe, respect is the key ingredient for, I mean, you're the psychotherapist, but I believe that that's a key ingredient for relationships to flourish. And to be able to be, reciprocity, win and give and take. It's about sharing, collaborating, communicating our needs, and doing it in a way, as you say, it's not about being aggressive and, one person wins, one person loses, because the pie is big enough, I believe, to actually have everybody take away from the conversation something that is meaningful and important, an outcome that they are choosing to stand up for. So very important book, and I'm glad to see it's being released on International Women's Day. And definitely some of your research overlaps with some of the research in my book too, where we talk about being liked, that need, daddy's little girl, wanting to make sure that we are pleasing people, a lot of people pleasers, especially in the holistic field. And I've also worked with executives and worked with women entrepreneurs, some really powerful women entrepreneurs who are making big ripples in the world. And still, there might be a confident exterior. And yet when we have some of these coaching conversations, which obviously in confidence, I'm not going to share any of them. However, there's always opportunity for expanding the confidence and really helping that to be rock solid, because there are events that come at us and they shake our confidence, but it's about how quickly do we bounce back from that and realize, whoa, this is a learning opportunity that's going to help me grow. And unless I step into it and be more courageous, I'm never going to have an opportunity to see what could have been. And the fact that you were in the project and yet you had that vision that you wanted to be working on a global scale, that to me is fascinating. So how did that insight come from your background? What sparked it, do you think?
I truly believe that we're spiritual beings, that this is a spiritual journey. Yeah. And when we come in with spiritual wisdom. We can tap into that or we can reject it. That's our choice. But I think when you live in some very traumatic experiences, that either you get lost in the experiences or you recognize you have the ability to separate. And I don't mean disassociate psychologically, but you have the ability to separate and recognize the situation is not a reality I want, that I am not that situation. I'm something apart from my life. And I truly believe that we are not the lives we have created. We are separate entities, and if you will, at arm's length, there is the family you have, there is your children, your birth family, there are your friends, your career. All of that is over there at arm's length while you sit here in this chair. We brought that in or created that reality, but we're separate from all of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that acknowledgement, and for some reason I have that acknowledgement as a very little girl, perhaps because I never really lived in a family for those first few years, that I wasn't a part of a reality, if you will. I was in an orphanage.
Right.
And so the gift of that, and again, everything is in the reframe, the gift of that is that I didn't belong to a family setting. So in moving into it, it was established and I joined it, but I wasn't bought into this so I could see myself as apart from. And so going through life, I'm able to recognize that, yes, I've created this family with my wonderful children and now grandchildren, and I've got this beautiful circle of friends and so forth. But that as you watch your life, your friends come and go. They move, they get married, they go away. Things happen, you know, and yet you still, they have a piece of your heart, and yet your relationship with them changes. And when you acknowledge that that's not about me and we don't take everything personally, that I'm here and this is a big world out there. So how do I want to be a part of it? Yeah. And I think that awareness was there from very, very early. And I've never lost that. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to not just be a part of that bigger world, but impact that bigger world to create a better world.
Yeah. It's so interesting. If you had listened to any of my podcast interviews recently, or I don't think you have a copy of my book yet. I can't remember. Did I give you a copy of my book at the event?
No.
No. Okay. Well, we'll have to make sure you get a copy.
Then thank you.
the spark. It's so interesting to me where something traumatic happens and we can either choose to get lost in it and really surrender to it and lose ourselves, or we can get angry and say, this is not going to be my life. And in my case, I mean, I grew up with a father who had come back from the war. He had PTSD. He was extremely rude and abusive to my mom. And I literally watched the life and the dignity drain right out of her. And instead of surrendering to that and saying, oh, well, that's the way that my life's going to be, for me, it made such an impression that it sparked anger. And it was about, wow, I'm never going to let myself get put in that situation. Now, okay, I carried that energy of anger and striving and resentment for many, many years before I finally gave that up it was only about 4 years ago that I gave that up and moved from my old business into my new brand, which is, you know, Flourish. It has a whole different energy around it. It's about acceptance. It's about knowing that, you know, I don't have to be perfect. Nothing is planned and cast in stone. But if we just take one step at a time and see what's opening up and increase our consciousness and our awareness, that magical things happen, and it's far, far less stressful. Well, I was curious, you know, what.
And it has room for your humanity. It has room for your humanity in it.
So I was curious, what beliefs do you run across in your professional practice that you believe that if women could shift, we would be able to, all or more of us would be able to make a massive difference, particularly within organizations, helping them to be more conscious? What beliefs do you think we need to shift?
There are a few, actually. I think one, And I've written a book on this, an ebook, on the five archetypes of leadership. It's recognizing that there are many different styles of leadership.
Yep.
We've been raised with the patriarchal, with a linear, you know, there's the leaders and the semi-leaders and the less and less and less down the road. Yep. When in fact, there's many different types of leadership. There's thought leadership. We need those people who think so far out of the box. They encourage us to keep creating and recreating and reinventing ourselves as individuals, but also our companies. Right. And we have team leaders, which we absolutely need to create this cohesive culture within a company so that it thrives. And so that we can begin looking at hiring people because they fit into our culture first, then that they fit into the needs we have within the organization. But they can be marvelously qualified for the job, but not fit the culture, and everybody's going to be impacted negatively. So you need team leaders who can do that, have that skill set. Not everybody does. So there's all different types. We have the visionary leader who's out there very much willing to be the face of the company and to implement all the changes. And they're not the creators, they're not the thought leaders, they're not the stimulators. But once you let them know where it's going, they implement amazingly. And when women can recognize then our leadership will look different. Mm-hmm. It will look unlike perhaps other styles of leadership we've experienced. That doesn't make us less leadership material. It right. makes us different leadership material. And we need to own that and recognize that without a good, better, or best. It's right. different. It's not good, better, or best. I think that's one of the key pieces we need to do. The second is that we need to honor the fact that our style is primarily different. One of my clients now is a great visionary leader, but she's a surgeon and they are very exacting. And she always thought of herself as a very demanding, exacting woman. And her leadership style was demanding and exacting. And yet, when and I discussed what was happening in her office, and she's a major innovator throughout the country and looking at hospital care. And changing how hospital administration is done. And yet when we talked, it's her vision of how this should take place. It's her vision of medical care, her vision of team approaches to healthcare. This woman's a visionary. She's not this exacting woman. She fit into a box because that's how she was supposed to be. Yeah. And now in working with me, she's really discovered I didn't give her this. I've helped her discover what her natural traits, and now she can thrive and finally be at peace, love her career. And that when you love your career, that impacts out. It changes your marriage. It changes your relationship with your children. Yeah. Because when you change every relationship you're in. So yeah. I think that's another whole element of owning we have different leadership styles. Also owning that we have the power to create culture. Mm-hmm. We don't have to follow the culture. We have the power to create a culture, whether it's in our home, in our families, or in our companies, yeah. or in our communities. We have the power to create a culture rather than resenting what's out there. Own your power and your ability to change it. Yeah. And so it's really taking the initiative, which can be very difficult for some women. It's more of tell me where you need me. And I will thrive over there. Let's sit back a moment. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What is your vision for you? And how can you make that happen? It's truly having the ability to not just trying to fit in, but trying to create a place for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason that I'm starting these new interviews, you know, partly connecting back with my Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show, which is about inspiring and providing uplifting stories so women can see, you know, if you're having an opportunity right now to look at your life because you're going through something really challenging in a different way, because you can see there are women who have been through such tragedy and now have risen up the other side, that you just have to keep the hope and keep the faith that things will turn around eventually. We don't know exactly how long it will take. The other part of these interviews is to be showcased as part of the series that I'm releasing, the Women and Wisdom series, which is interviewing influential and confident leaders such as yourself and digging into this topic of leadership culture. Because when I wrote the first book, you know, I can help individual women through the book and the content and the exercises to have more confident conversations. So it's almost, and we had this, I think we had this conversation in San Diego. It's almost like if you heal someone with their communications, but then you put them back into a sick environment, they're going to get sick again really quick. So part of this series is to do some research for my next book, which is about leadership and women, and start looking at those cultures and how can we shift the culture so that it is more receptive to those confident women coming back in, so they're not going to get sick again. And this right. interview series is leading into writing that book and also to collecting more information. So my other question for you in particular was, you know, what do you feel is the biggest contribution that women leaders can uniquely bring to the world? And I'm also curious to hear what listeners can learn from your new book.
Oh, thank you. My new book, and it encompasses what the other part of your question. My new book talks about the need for effective mindset. that I can create the company or the position I want. I can create the culture within my company. So it's a mindset that also says, I don't have to prove my worth. I simply have to show it. We cannot prove our worth to anybody. If they don't value us, they will not value us no matter what we show them. If they do value us, we can make a mistake and they recognize it was a bad day. And they still value us because they know we've got it. We just had a bad day that day. All right. Yeah. So we have to give up proving the mindset. We have to own the fact that we are born leaders. Every one of us on this planet is born as a leader. We can choose to own that leadership or not. We need to develop effective communication skills and give up being sorry. If you listen to women, how many times a day do they say, I am sorry? And basically what they're saying is, I'm sorry I exist. Yeah. Stop being sorry. All right.
Yeah.
I don't mean to inconvenience you at the moment, but I do have a particular question. Do you mind if I ask you this?
Sure.
Period. Yeah. You sound, right? You don't sound like the sweet, meek little thing saying, gee, I'm so sorry. Would you mind if I bothered you for a minute? Excuse me. No, I'm not going down energetically. We need to own our energy because our energy is what people respond to even more than our words. So own it. So there are in that sort of kind of maybe, I think possibly, why?
Exactly.
This is what I think. Put it out there. Own it. Again, you're apologizing for your thoughts. So communication skills are important as well. And I truly believe that emotional intelligence is a strength that needs to be brought in as a huge factor in being powerful and a huge factor in leadership.
Yep.
And emotional intelligence is not something that until recently was even discussed. Till the past, I think, 10 or 15 years it came in. And I don't know that it came in enough from my perspective. Mm-hmm. That developing emotional intelligence, know yourself well enough to know, these situations set me up to feel inadequate, or these situations set me up in which I then feel not good enough or too much, whatever the case may be. Recognize that certain situations for you, everybody is different, are your trigger. Know those situations. How can you prepare yourself going in so that you don't go? And this is, I know my emotions well enough, but I know in this particular situation, I give my power away. Okay. And some of those times you can avoid those situations, but sometimes you can't. How can you prepare yourself for those situations? This is your emotional intelligence. I am so emotionally intelligent. I know exactly where my triggers are. I know exactly where I go into anger. I know where I go into inadequacy. I know where I go into confusion. Okay, let me prepare myself so those situations don't take me to emotional reaction. They allow me to stay in my power. That's that level of emotional intelligence supports us. Also, with well-developed emotional intelligence, I learn how to read other people. I can learn to not take what they're saying personally. Because rarely is it personal. Most people go into their own fears and they put it out there. When we have emotional intelligence, we stop reacting and we start responding.
Yeah.
And we know how to be empathic because we can see that these people, they are in their own fear. They are in their own wounds. And we don't go into the mother mode, but we go into as a powerful leader dealing with who they are and not dealing with their wound. So that emotional intelligence is imperative for us to develop. Mindfulness, to me, I don't know how we can be effective leaders, effective persons, individuals, without practicing mindfulness. You know, that ability to step back out of our lives, to remember that we exist apart from all of this,
right,
and just sit in the silence and mindfulness, it allows us to be at peace. And when we are at peace, we continuously respond. We own who we are without fear or judgment. We do have that emotional intelligence because we're not jumping in reactionarily. We're stepping back and responding. Yeah. And with all of that, then learning about our shadow side, because every one of us has a shadow side. Every one of us has that part of us that wants to fight back. Well, we all do. We all do.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Let me show you who's in charge. Oh, but that's really going to be mature and help you go places. But laugh at yourself when it shows up. All right. Laugh at yourself when you want to slap somebody on the side of the head and say, so close to sainthood and yet maybe very far away. And just laugh at the impulse and let it pass. And own the fact that you're not bad because you had the urge. If you acted out, that's another whole story. But laugh at the fact that we all have a lower self. We all have a shadow side. Own it. Because if you don't own it, you'll be putting on masks, masks, and more masks so that you can hide from that and so that nobody else will see you have it. You know, you can let your close friends know you have it and they will laugh at it with you.
Yeah.
But it's a choice to own it, because anything we repress, anything we pretend isn't a part of ourselves, when we sit on that energy, it's energy we can't use for creativity. Because right. energy is just energy. Let all of that out. It's just energy. Laugh at that part of yourself. Let it pass through. Then you can use that energy for good, for creation, for support.
And reminding me
do that and own the shadow. And amazingly, you know, statistically, that with millennial women coming up, they are having affairs far more than other generations of women for a number of reasons. It's a long research, too much to go into here. But know that when any of us, male or female, get involved in an affair, that also takes place in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that takes place in the shadows is something we have to hide. So we have to hide a part of ourselves. Why are we doing that to us?
Yeah.
Why are we bringing out parts of ourselves we need to be ashamed of? Or we need to hide. Look at the level of self-betrayal. Never mind judgment, morality, or anything else. Just look at the fact that when we have to betray who we want to be seen as, what are we doing to ourselves? Mm. Much less to our partners or anybody else. Always coming back without judgment, but with observation. That's not who I want to be. Come back into your truth and live it. So all of this is in my book, obviously, in much more detail. So that if we are effectively going to own our leadership, we need to do it with authenticity, with ourselves, as well as with other people. I need to own all of me if I'm going to bring that in. Need to be able to do all of these things if that's going to work for me. And so all of that is a part of effective leadership. And I think for women to really bring it out.
Yeah, it sounds like an amazing book, and I will have to pick up a copy. So it's actually releasing on International Women's Day.
Yeah, it's International Women's Day on the 8th. Yeah,
the 8th.
It's going to be released on the
8th. And it'll be out on Amazon, or are you?
It'll be on Amazon. And for the 8th or the 9th, it will be half price.
Okay.
So if they go on that day, they get it half price. And so why not? Everybody loves to save a dollar.
Exactly. Well, it's been delightful listening to both your stories, your perspective, and the wisdom that has been gathered over the years, and how you have put that together into a really impactful and meaningful book. I love hearing some of the things you're sharing, talking about enough, talking about what I call a power pause, you know, developing a power pause, so that you're not blindsided and you have something assertive to reflect back with right away. Being enough, saying sorry. Yes, there's a lot of parallels in our work, which is lovely. So if they want, if the listeners and audience members watching this video want to connect with you and learn more about what you're doing, where did they go to do that? What's your website address?
They could go to my website, which is askdrdorothy.com. AskDrDorothy.com or email Dorothy@AskDrDorothy.com. Either of those would be a great way to reach me. And I must say, in closing, having you out there doing this work as well, there are never too many of us out there bringing this message. The more of us who can be out there bringing this message, the better. Because we have an entire world to transform through this message. And it's a joy working with another woman doing exactly the same thing. Each of us with a different flavor, but exactly the same thing, transforming the world.
Yes. Well,
real women are changing the world.
Yeah. And you're being invited now to do some work on one of the UN Health Councils for Conscious Capitalism.
Right. I've been asked to head the health committee of a UN global summit on conscious capitalism. Lovely. To really support our medical personnel as well as support our patients. They should be the center of the medical focus. The insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies should be the support systems, not the leaders of healthcare. They right. should be supporting the physicians and the patients, not leading how healthcare is practiced.
Yeah, it's like that inverted V, right? This is where the leader sits at the bottom, supporting the rest of the organization, not, you know, a pyramid where they're sitting on like the cherry on the top. So it's our job as leaders to remove any barriers to success that are preventing right. the employees or the staff from flourishing, from being autonomous, from having that sense of purpose and seeing how it connects to what their daily job is, and really giving them a chance to be, well, as Daniel Pink says, you know, it's autonomy, mastery, and drive. And if we can create that culture, it really does support our workers. I too am a big fan of emotional intelligence. I'm a certified consultant in emotional intelligence. And that is one of my favorite vehicles to work with women, because women aren't afraid to look at their emotions. Whereas a lot of times right. when I've worked in the past and, you know, wanted to do a 360 leadership assessment with a male leader on emotional intelligence, it's, you know,
it's a whole different conversation,
let's say.
That's what we're talking about, changing the world. Well, exactly. Thank you so very much. This has been an absolute delight.
I have greatly enjoyed this collaboration on this call, sharing ideas. And we're going to probably close out in just a minute. I will let you go if you need to hop off. And we're just going to close by having a short video clip run, which is talking about the words Women and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations, as this is so timely with it being International Women's Day week, to be really sharing these nuggets of wisdom. Your book is coming out. I will be definitely picking up a copy of that. And
Thank you so much. You
get a copy of mine as well. And
I absolutely will, yes.
Yeah, and I will...
Sharing our wisdom.
Share the wisdom, and I look forward to our next collaborative call. So...
Thank you.
With that said, connect with Dr. Dorothy as she shared, and I look forward to sharing more wisdom with you very shortly. Have a wonderful day.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business, by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she had once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.